There's just a flow of the liberty of God to bring forth His message that that it doesn't take any kind of marvelous individual to do it. Amen. Jesus said, if you won't praise me, the stones will cry out. Amen. Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, and the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter. I want to draw today a comparison between two passages, one in John 16 and one in Mark 16. I don't know that I'm going to say anything to you today that you don't already know, but that's all right. If I were to say to you today, we're going to have a T-bone steak dinner right after church, how many would like to have that? What's the matter with the rest of you? See, just because you've had T-bone steak once before doesn't mean it's not good again, right? And the same thing is true with the wonderful truths of the Word of God. Just because we know them doesn't mean that they do not rejoice our heart when we hear them again. John chapter 16 and Mark 16 both contain words from the lips of Jesus. In the 16th chapter of John, we have the record of the among the last dialogues of Jesus just before he was crucified. In the 16th chapter of Mark, we have some things that he had to say after his resurrection and just before he ascended into heaven. So both of these passages are among the final words of the Lord within 50 days or 40 days. I'm going to read two verses from the 16th chapter of John, beginning with the 7th. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. In other words, it's a good thing. It's profitable for you. It's beneficial. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in other words, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now I want you to notice that Jesus tells us here that it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict the world and the people of the world of their sin. One of the primary things that the Holy Spirit does, particularly with the unbeliever, we know what the Holy Spirit does for the believer, for us. But in the case of the unbeliever, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict the man of sin, to make him understand that he's a sinner and that he's in trouble when coming face to face with a holy God and he needs help. The conviction of sin is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and I'm going to read three verses here, beginning with the 14th. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, as they were having a meal, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, Jesus said to the disciples that it is the work of his followers to proclaim the gospel. That it is the work of the church, the work of the Christian, to declare the answer for sin. It is the work and ministry of the Christian and the Christian community to declare the good news that there's a Savior. And that he came to save mankind from their sin. Now, we've got a real problem in the church today. And the problem is essentially this. The church doesn't understand what is the Holy Ghost's responsibility and what is the church's responsibility. And so we have a church that is preaching the conviction of sin on the people, expecting the Holy Ghost to tell them about Jesus. Whereas Jesus said it's the Holy Ghost that's going to persuade people of their sin, it's our job to tell them about Jesus the Savior. It is not our responsibility to do the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not our responsibility to tell everybody that they are miserable, low-down, rotten, dirty sinners. That's not our work. That's not what God called us to do. He called us to declare the hope. He called us to declare the answer for man's problem. Man already knows what his problem is. How does he know that? The Holy Spirit has already told him. Inside every man, there is a knowing that he's a sinner. The church for centuries, and most of our present day church, has this backward. Why is it that the unbeliever doesn't want to have anything to do with the traditional church? Because all the traditional church does is make him feel bad. The church says, you're a sinner, you're rotten, God's going to get you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you need to do penance for this, you need to confess this, you need to get forgiveness of this. And this poor man that we met at the jail the other night was laboring under that very thing. He said, I have been praying for God to forgive me. Oh, if God will only forgive me, I never understood. And in 15 minutes, the church came into that jail. And the church did its job. And its job is go to every creature into all the world and preach the what? Preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Not preach the condemnation. Man is already condemned. The unbeliever is already condemned in his heart. Now, with his head and with his mouth, he may say, I'm okay. But in his heart, he knows. He knows because Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, what will the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost will convict the unbelieving sinner of his what? Of his sin. You don't have to tell a sinner he's a sinner. He knows it. Now, he may not want to do anything about it yet. But he knows what his problem is. He knows that he's at enmity with a holy God. Didn't you? Of course we did. You know from early on. You don't want to be a bad boy. This is how it starts. You don't want to be a bad girl. Here's a little baby gently sleeping over here, quietly sleeping, and he doesn't know anything about what we're talking about, but it won't be very long that he will know what it means to be a bad boy and a good boy. He will know the difference. He will know the difference before this year is out, this first year of his life. We understand those things. God has set things up that way. Now, if the church is so busy telling everybody how rotten they are and preaching condemnation on people, where are they ever going to get the gospel? They're not going to get it in the church. And so we have in many of our churches, even in many of our evangelical fundamental churches, we have people streaming to the altars after moving sermons that bring conviction of sin, and they stream to the altars in revival services and so on, and come to get the forgiveness of God and get up unchanged. I'm going to tell you today that the buildings right here in our own community that house the Jehovah's, so-called Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, do you understand? They're not witnesses to Jehovah at all. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. The ones that call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, they're not the Church of Jesus Christ, nor are they saints, latter-day, former day, or any other day. Amen. Just because you live in a garage doesn't make you an automobile. Just because you take a certain label upon yourself does not make you that. There are people streaming into our country every day. We call them illegal aliens. Just because they live in America doesn't make them Americans. Are you listening? There are people in those places today who were formerly, do you know that most of the Mormons, now I'm not talking about the ones that are raised in Utah in Mormon families, I'm talking about the Mormons in Atlanta, Georgia, and in Douglas County, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, do you know most of them are former Baptists, former Methodists, former Lutherans, former Presbyterians, most all of them have been through the Church of Jesus Christ and did not find the answer to their problem. Do you know why? Because the church did not fulfill its responsibility. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But instead, the church is so busy preaching sin, preaching condemnation upon the people. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will do that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Look at several verses here beginning at the 16th. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news of the saving grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ his Son. For this gospel, this good news is the power of God. The church is not preaching the power of God. The church is preaching the power of sin. We need to be preaching the power of God, the power of the gospel. It's the gospel that the church is to declare, and it's the gospel that has the power in it. Much of what our churches are preaching has no power in it at all to set men free. Its only power is to keep them enslaved. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. You don't condemn a man into salvation, and you don't drive him in there by telling him how rotten he is. He already knows that. The way a man gets saved is because he understands the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Sometimes in our own homes, we're trying to get our husbands saved. We're trying to get our wives saved. We're trying to get our children saved. We're trying to witness to our moms and dads and so on. And we're so concerned about their drinking and their smoking and their whatever they're doing, their cursing and their blaspheming and so on. All of that is, of course, a negative thing. But our concentrating on that is not going to bring them to Christ. It will drive them away from Him. Because if you are the representative of Christ and all you do is make them feel more miserable than they already feel, it's not going to bring them to salvation. The thing that brings a person to salvation is the good news. And the good news is that Jesus is the answer for that yucky feeling you've got on the inside of you. Jesus is the answer for that guilty feeling you have on the inside. Jesus is the answer for your inability to change your life and change your attitudes and change your actions. Jesus is the answer. And that's the message of the church. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. They all won't believe, but those that do believe the gospel, they're going to be what? They're going to be saved. Young people, don't you forget what you're hearing here today. Because you're going to hear the other too. I want you to remember this, though. This is important. Verse 17, for therein, wherein, in the gospel, In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. See, the righteousness of God, a person wants to be a good person. He wants to get victory over his sin. You don't get victory over your sin by trying to do better. The righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God is revealed in the gospel. It's not revealed in the condemning declaration of how terrible we are. That will not bring righteousness. It won't produce it. Verse 18, for the wrath of God. Everybody say the wrath of God. You ever heard that term before? Yes. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You understand what that means? Every man has, someone has said, that inside every man is an awareness that there's a holy God, and I'm unholy, and I've got to do business one day with this holy God. That's already in us. It's born in us. The wrath of God is revealed to all men. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We can't see him, but we understand them by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. We see the rain coming down. We see the flowers coming up. We see a baby being born. We know that there's a God. We can't see him. He's invisible. But we can see the results of what he has done, and we know that he is real, so that they are what? What does your Bible say? Man is what? Without excuse. Do you know what that means? That means that the Holy Spirit is at work persuading men that God is real, that we're a sinner, that he's holy, and that we're in trouble with him. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world, all mankind, of their sin. So what is our calling? Our primary calling is to declare the good news, that it's the power of God to save men. Now let me show you some of this good news from Titus. How many of you can find Titus? Let me see your hands if you think you can find it. Hey, good. Good. Titus. Short little book, but power-packed. I want to read several verses here, beginning at the 11th. Maybe to save time, we'll just go directly to the 14th. Titus chapter 2. And verse 14, talking about the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all serious iniquities. That he might redeem us from major offenses. Do you know that in some of our churches we have major sins and minor sins? Do you know in some of our churches we have mortal sins and venial sins? You know in some of our churches we have the audacity to make a decision that this is a sin that can cost you this, and this is a sin that can cost you this. This is a sin that you have to go to a terrible place when you die, but on these sins over here, you can do some things here on the earth just to take care of them. Do you realize that there are millions of people in our world who are bound in that kind of religious tradition? If I were to tell you what some of these people believe and how they live and how they act, you would go, tisk, tisk. The church has been unfaithful. The church has been unfaithful in its attempt to do what it thinks God wants it to do. It has departed from what God has clearly said we're supposed to do. And our job is not to tell people how rotten they are. Our job is to tell them how good he is and what he has done on their behalf. Now, Paul wrote Titus, and he said that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Everybody say, all iniquity.
All iniquity.
All iniquity. All iniquity. And do what? purify. Everybody say purify. Purify. He purified himself a people. Do you know what it means to purify something? It means to take everything foreign out of it. It means to take everything dirty out of it. Do you have any way of knowing? Do you understand that when you sit there and look at me, you're looking at purity? I didn't hear any amens on that. See, you're looking too carefully at me, and you're not looking carefully enough at the Word of God. As far as he's concerned, all my sins, all your sins, gone. Does it say that or doesn't it? It says all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar or a special, a beyond usual, a possessed people who are so thrilled with the awareness that their sins are gone that they want to do everything they can for the glory of God. And that's what that verse means. That we are busy not trying to earn his favor. He gave us his favor when we were yet wretched sinners. We are now simply expressing our gratitude by trying to do those things which will be pleasing to him. And sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail, but our sins are still covered. They're still washed away. We are still in his sight a purified people. And a person who understands that and knows that ought to be a person who is rejoicing in his spirit continually, who is praising and worshiping the Most High God continually, and ought not to have to be exhorted in order to worship the glorious God Almighty. Amen. A person who doesn't flow in that does not understand what we're talking about this morning. You say, Pastor, well, that just may be a bad translation there, and maybe one place in there. I don't want to build my life on something, you know, like that. Well, that's okay. I'm ready for you. 1 John chapter 1. I can deal with that. 1 John chapter 1. See, this is the message of the church, beloved. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I tell you, if we learn how to walk in our calling, do you understand, husbands? Let me talk to wives. You turn it off here a bit. Just turn your hearing aids off or whatever you're using this morning. And husbands, let me talk to you. Doesn't it go better in your house when your wife really walks in her calling and tries and doesn't try to be the husband? Nobody willing to agree with me there? Husbands, you can turn yours off now. And wives, you can turn yours on. Wives, doesn't it work better in your house when your husband lets you be who you're supposed to be and doesn't try to be you? And moms and dads, you can all listen to me now. Doesn't it work better in your home when the child recognizing that he or she is a child and that you're the mommy and the daddy? Yeah. And what do you say when it, well, why should I do that? Is it because I'm the mommy? So, you know, we need to learn how to walk in our calling. The same thing is true. See, I can tell you in the church, when we have trouble in the church, it's because we have some people who want to be the pastor. We have sheep who want to be the shepherd, or we have a shepherd who doesn't want to be the shepherd. He wants to play sheep. And both are bad. Both are bad. And if we don't walk in our calling, you see, if the Holy Ghost doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and the church doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then the kingdom of God is not going to flourish and prosper. And if the church is trying to act like, haven't you ever felt like this? You, somebody's trying to tell you everything that's wrong with your life. I don't know whether you ever said it like this, but you might have thought, please don't try to be my Holy Spirit. You ever felt like that? Somebody felt they were going to play God in your life? whoo, doesn't that just, whoo, that just goes all over me. That we would have the audacity to think that we can play Holy Spirit in somebody else's life. We're not to do the work of the Holy Ghost. He can do His work fine. Jesus said He'll convict the world of sin. We don't have to do that. We're the ones that have the good news. And we're the ones that must be faithful in delivering that good news. Listen, we go over to that jail and give those guys some good... Somebody says, well, wonder why those guys are like... Why do they respond like that? Because the Holy Ghost has already been there. He's already done His work. They already know their condition they're in. They're looking for somebody to bring them an answer.
Amen.
And so some men come in, some women come in, some preachers, some singers, some testifiers, and here comes the good news. And here are these grizzled old jailbirds. I surrender. Run to the altar to give their hearts to Jesus. Why? Because they've got the good news. See, that's the church doing its work. Now, it doesn't always happen that quick. Obviously, you give the good news, and we got some folks in here who waited for 20 years for that good news to take effect. When the person makes a decision that they want to respond to the problem that they're feeling on the inside, at least they ought to know how to respond. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, Anita, this is your song, isn't it? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Yeah. And it says, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from most of our sins. Everybody say all.
All.
All sin. Well, you know, somebody said, well, I don't know about all them iniquities. I'm just concerned about my sin. Well, here's your verse right here. Isn't it? See, if your problem's iniquity, then you've got Titus 2:14, don't you? If your problem's sin, then you've got 1 John 7, 1 and 7, okay? What? Okay. He says, John says, the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. Now everybody say, past sin,
present sin,
future sin,
all sin,
gone, clean,
pure.
That's the gospel. You're saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, aren't you? Are you going to maybe one day in the future slip and fall and maybe do something to break God's law and maybe sin? Would that be a possibility? Huh? Yeah, that's the right answer. The world is watching, Stephanie. Don't be afraid to answer. Well, what are we going to do about this problem Stephanie might have down the road? She ought to be worried about that, shouldn't she? I mean, she ought to be living in mortal fear that she may do something like that one day. But she's not. Why? Because she knows that the same blood that washed away her old sin has also washed away the ones she never even thought of yet. See, God's not worried about what Stephanie might do. So why should a Christian be walking around on eggshells? Ooh, I'm afraid I might do something wrong. But many Christians are. Do you know why they are? Because in their churches, the church is trying to do the work of the Holy Ghost. And the people are so conscious of some kind of sin, some kind of something in their life, that they're just bound up like they're just little mice. Afraid, walking and living in fear. You say, well, I hear about those iniquities and I hear about those sins, but gee, how about those unrighteousnesses? I mean, those are the ones that will really rise up and bite you, right? Well, just read a couple more verses. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, how should a Christian live? Well, a Christian ought to live not worried about where he might miss it tomorrow or the next day, because all of those things are already taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already taken care of that. He took care of that long before you committed the ones that you think he forgave you from. Didn't he? Because he dealt with your sin before you were ever born. All the sin is dealt with. All of it. It's gone. All your iniquity, all your individual acts of sin, all of your unrighteousness and unrighteousnesses are taken care of. So what should be our attitude towards sin when we slip and fall? What should we say? Oh, God, please. Oh, please. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Oh. See, no, no, that ought not to be. For a Christian who understands what's going on and understands the gospel, his attitude ought to be, oh, Lord, I really fouled this one off. That is really sad what I just did. And I'm so sorry. I'm just so grateful that my sins are covered. I acknowledge them and I declare them to you, and I just thank you for my forgiveness. See, that ought to be a Christian's life. It's not that Christians are soft on sin. It's not that Christians don't acknowledge that we do fail and we do fall and we do miss it. But it's how we handle that. And we don't become beggars in the hands of an angry God. Our God's not mad at us. He got mad at sin, and he took care of sin right there. You talk about his wrath. His wrath was manifested to John Jesus. Now you say, okay, well, he took care of all my sins, that's good. He took care of all my iniquities, that's really good. And he took care of all of my unrighteousnesses, that's fine. But I got some trespasses. I'll bet he didn't take care of my trespasses. Well, I'm ready for you too. Let's go to Colossians just a moment. Second chapter of the book of Colossians. Oh my gosh. I just made a mistake and looked at my watch. This is, you know, when you get to preaching the gospel, though, you can just preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, because it is so full and it's so rich and there's so many wonderful things to say. Colossians, I will try to limit my remarks, however. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Read several verses here. For in him, talking about Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, Jesus Christ is God Almighty in a bodily form. And ye are complete in him. If you're in Christ, you're complete. There's nothing missing. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins, of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. How did we put off the body of sins of the flesh? How did we get rid of our sins? We got rid of them because we stopped doing them. Not what it says. Not what it says. How did we get rid of the body of sins? We got rid of them because of what Jesus did, not because of what we're going to do. It's his work, not ours, to deal with the sins. Buried with him, verse 12, in baptism. We talked about being dead, remember? Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh that killed you, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you what? All what? Okay, now did I leave any stone unturned? We've dealt with your iniquities. What percentage of your iniquities have been taken care of? All of them. We've dealt with your sins. What percentage of your sins are gone? Gone, 100%. And we've dealt with your unrighteousness and your unrighteousnesses, and how much of that is remaining? The pastor's quicker. And we've dealt, haven't we, with your trespasses? How many of your trespasses have been dealt with? All of them. Does anybody else have a problem? I mean, really, this is the gospel. Does anybody else have a problem? You're complete in Christ. You're pure in Christ. You're innocent in Christ. You're righteous in Christ. You're holy in Christ. You're acceptable if you're in Christ. So your life isn't perfect. So you know that, and I know that, and let's not live in a dream world. We know that there are things that we need God's help in working on, but let's not jump under a rock and allow the condemnation of traditional religion to keep us from being free. Paul said, "Stand fast in the liberty whereby Jesus Christ has made you free." And that's what you were talking about this morning, sister, is liberty, liberty in Christ. And that liberty comes from knowing that we are free. Amen. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? I want to thank God today. Lift your hands with me to the Lord, please. Let's make a good confession to the Lord. Heavenly Father,
we bless you this day.
I acknowledge you as my Savior,
as my God.
I thank you for the good news of Jesus.
I thank you that all my sins are washed away.
That when the blood of Jesus flow
from Calvary's cross,
it reached to today.
It reaches even to tomorrow.
And it washes me as clean
as fresh fallen snow.
I declare, Father,
that in your sight
there's no spot in me.
There's no blemish in me.
There's no wrinkle in me.
And I'm so excited about that.
There's no condemnation on me.
And I'm so thrilled at that.
That I want to praise you.
I want to tell everyone about you.
I want to declare your good news.
So that others
may find the same liberty.
And the same joy
that I have found.
In Jesus' name, Father,
give me opportunities to do so.
I will be faithful
to my calling
as a part of the body of Christ.
I will not try to be the Holy Spirit.
I will not try to show others
what's wrong with them?
That's your job.
I'm going to give them the good news
that they can be free if they want to.
Hallelujah.
Amen.